It's a real pleasure to introduce to you our speaker today, Sister Mary Ellen Edmonds. She is a great example of many things. She has enthusiasm that is unique. She is also a great example of service. She is currently serving as the Associate Director of Training at the Missionary Training Center in Provo and also on the General Relief Society Board of the Church. A native of Los Angeles, California, she earned a bachelor's degree in nursing from Brigham Young University. She was named Student Nurse of the Year her senior year at BYU and also Student Nurse for the state of Utah. In 1962, Sister Edmonds served a mission to the Southern Far East Mission, which included Taiwan, Hong Kong, and the Philippines. She was called to serve a stake mission for the BYU 7th stake and was called to the Philippines Manila Mission as the first health missionary. She was one of the first lady missionaries to serve in Indonesia Jakarta Mission, where she served with a welfare services assignment. In a real quick hurry, that's four missions. Her professional health skills have given her administrative experience at the MTC and at Utah Valley Hospital in Provo, and with the LDS Church as coordinator of health missionaries. She has been a nursing instructor at BYU and a part-time instructor for the College of Southern Utah, now known as Southern Utah University. She has also been on the nursing staff at Utah Valley Hospital. Prior to serving at the MTC, Sister Edmonds was director of the Thrasher International Program for Children in West Africa. Among her honors include receiving the Alumni Distinguished Service Award from BYU in 1982 and the Exemplary Womanhood Award from BYU 2 years later. We're very pleased that with Sister Edmonds today are her mother, to her right, Sister Ella Edmonds, and her sister, Sister Charlotte Dowdle, who's also a RICS alumnus and a graduate. Very pleased to introduce Sister Mary Ellen Edmonds.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Yeah, you're here. I'm glad. Thanks, President Binion. I love President and Sister Binion. If we were neighbors, we'd probably laugh and cry all night and never get any rest. I just enjoy them so much and all the other members of the RICS family. I love to come here. This is a remarkable place, and I thank all those who have made it possible. We're gathered here together today because we believe in meetings. All that have been scheduled, all that are now scheduled. And we believe that there will yet be many great and important meetings scheduled. We have endured many meetings and hope to be able to endure all meetings. Indeed, we may say that if there is a meeting or anything that resembles a meeting or anything we might possibly turn into a meeting, we seek after these things. I was in the stands at a BYU game on Saturday. This is my ticket. And over the public address system came this notice. RICS over Scottsdale artichokes. Is this true? I just wondered. We're also gathered here together today because we love to learn. We want to learn. With all our hearts, we want to figure out more about how to be happy, obedient, genuine children of God. There are few places on earth where you could be in a better situation to learn and practice being saints, being good, than at RICS College. And I mean that with all my heart. I love the spirit and feeling here. When I first got here, we came up to the man-wearing center about half an hour early, and I just stood at one of the doors watching. Feeling. You are so good. Thank you for being here and for being who you are and for trying so hard to be more like the Savior and more like your heavenly parents, kind and dear, kind and near. I understand. I got a copy of the scroll, and I read it cover to cover, except the advertisements. And I understand there are 373 international students, many from Canada, but from many other countries, more than 40 countries. Would all the international students please stand? All those from outside the USA? Remarkable. Thank you. I would also like all those who have served as missionaries to stand. Will you please stand? Woo! Oh, that is tremendous. That's tremendous. How many are thinking seriously about serving a mission? Will you stand? Oh! Even President and Sister Benyon stood. That's great. Well, that's why we're building new buildings. Come on down. I liked what I read in the scroll about what President Benyon said to you. Was it last week? 2 weeks ago. You weren't the speaker that... This is... Never mind. I'll tell you later. This is what I wrote down of what he said. This special college, he's speaking, this is in the middle of a sentence, which is unique, unlike any other. The people and the spirit of this place are the real treasures. Yes, they are. Well, this morning my mom, my sister, and I went to Frontier Pies, and I felt nervous about this talk, so I was writing some more on my place mat, and they let me keep it. They were very, really cordial. So part of my talk now will be from here. Our delicious pies are made in... No, I did. I wrote down a lot of stuff here. Some of it I can't say because it was way funny and we laughed hard and the tourists wondered what we were up to. But I've been thinking a lot lately about how weird we are. How peculiar we are. I'm convinced that the more we strive to become who we really are, children of God with the potential to become as He is, the more different we are from others in the community and in the world. And as I stood at the door today watching you come and go and listening and feeling, I thought to myself, self, millions of people coming here and standing with me would feel this same thing and wonder what it was. Who are these peculiar people? Do you feel that sometimes? Have you had enough experience to know how unique Rick's is? How unique this college is? Maybe there are even some in your own close circles who criticize you or make fun of you because you're so peculiar. This afternoon I want to say hooray for being peculiar. Let me give you a definition. And see if you would mind being peculiar with others of us who are striving in that direction. Here's a definition. That which pertains to or characterizes an individual person, place or thing, or groups of persons or things as distinct from others, set apart, distinguished in nature, character, or attributes from others, unlike others, singular, uncommon, unusual. Not too bad, huh? A few scriptures, one from Exodus chapter 19, verse 5. I wrote them down because it's sort of embarrassing when you're trying to find Exodus and you're in the wrong book. So I wrote them down. I don't have the tropical guide memorized or anything like that. Exodus chapter 19, verse 5. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure. That's the same word President Benyon used, treasure. Unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. From Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 2. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So there are other words used with peculiar, such as choice, favored, holy, pure. It's as if Heavenly Father is inviting us to become choice, favored, pure, chosen, unusual, uncommon, singular, extraordinary, peculiar. Why? So that we can be a light to others, a standard of refuge from the storm, so we can be an example, so we can be useful to God in helping to prepare for Jesus Christ to come again. I have figured out that the 12 apostles and the three in the presidency can't do that alone. They're wonderful. Their sacrifices are immeasurable. But I think it will take everybody working together to help prepare for Jesus Christ to come again. So we can be useful to God in so many ways. So others can lean on us if they become confused or weak or discouraged or lonely or overwhelmed or lost. So that we can someday be like God and with God. It's worth being peculiar. Those who choose to be peculiar and work at it do things differently than the world in general. Maybe they do some things which the world has forgotten or ignored. Suppose I don't know you, but I want to. What would I learn about you if I visited your apartment or your home? You can't come to mine. What's hanging on the walls? What would I learn about you if I walked into your apartment or your home and saw what's hanging on the walls? Old roommates. What are the books and magazines you read? Probably a lot of them right now are those that you're required to read. What do you watch on TV? How much time do you spend watching TV? Do you have a TV? Do you have reception in Rexburg? What would I learn about you if I knew the way you spend money and time? If I found out how you spend money and time, what would I learn about you? What would I learn about you if I listened to the way you speak to other people and watch how you treat others? What is peculiar about you? You know, I found one thing peculiar in that scroll. There are 6 people from Orem here on a dream team that have secret nicknames. I am dying to know what they are. What's peculiar about you? I come from a peculiar family. My mother's peculiar. She was born in Rigby, Idaho. She's right here. My sister Charlotte is peculiar. She graduated from Ricks before the flood. I'm not talking Teton. When Charlotte came to Rick's, the tour of campus took 7 minutes. There were 3 buildings. In those days, you didn't register. You just showed up. And they used to have these little boxes in all the chapels around the church to recruit people to come to Rick's. And now they have to turn people away. Times have changed. Charlotte, of course, as she said, majored in nursing, and she had to find her own way to Idaho Falls, to the hospital. Would have helped if they'd had a road. She would just stand out on the road and wave her stethoscope. Well, we are peculiar people. I was thinking about, for me, I am peculiar compared to what? Or to whom? Am I only peculiar in a good sense, chosen, pure, and so on, compared to Attila the Hun or Nihor or the creature from the Black Lagoon? You know, what makes me peculiar? Is it possible to be peculiar among the peculiar? Can you be too good? Can you be too righteous? Is it possible even among your close associates here at Rick's to have some really criticize you as being goody-goody or whatever we call those people? Charlotte was kind of a goody-goody as we grew up. I don't know who let all these little bugs loose, but they're flying all around. I think they're trying to get on my BYU sunburn. Charlotte used to say things like, "Don't you just love the commandments? Don't you wish we had more?" Is it peculiar, isn't it peculiar, to want to live on a higher level? To push yourself to be better when you're already pretty good. It's kind of peculiar. Sometimes I become complacent, satisfied. You've heard of Patty Perfect, the one that drives a paddy wagon, and Molly Mormon and others. There is also Minnie Mormon. Minnie Mormon, Minnie stands for minimal. Minnie Mormon has this as her goal. What's the least I can do and still get in the celestial kingdom? I don't want to be that way. I don't want to be just appearing or seeming to be. I want to have who I really am be who I am through and through, consistently. Not just in public, not just rising to an occasion, but being who I am all the time. I think it's peculiar to be in the world and not of the world, and that's no small thing. That is not easy to do. It's peculiar in a world of how to say no. Sometimes I go look in sections of bookstores of self-help books and things, and there are a lot of books about how to say no. That's not always the title, but there's the implication, how to take care of number one or whatever. It's peculiar in a world of how to say no to have so many saying yes. Yes to giving, sharing, serving, doing that which is inconvenient, even sacrificing sometimes to help someone else. Finding selflessness in a self-centered society is peculiar. How many of you are home or visiting teachers? Raise your hands if you have that assignment right now. Not very many.
Just getting organized.
Oh, you're just getting organized, said the stake president. Do you know much about that? I look at I am a little more tuned into what women are thinking, but I look at the women here and I think some of you are dreading Relief Society. I don't want to go sit in a basement and quilt. I don't want to make sequin fly swatters. How uncommon to be called as a home or visiting teacher and find in it more than numbers, more than 100%. Whenever I prepare a talk, seems like there are always a couple of things that come at the end when it's all ready to go. One came this morning while I was out walking, drying my hair because I forgot my blow dryer, so I had to use Heavenly Father's. The thought that came has to do with home and visiting teaching, and perhaps a little broader than that. And the thought was, we really need each other. We have just got to take care of each other. Part of the mission of this church is to save souls. Save is another word for a rescue. This is a wonderful place to be. But what's his no face?
Devil.
What's his no face knows where we are, and the temptations, the strong pull towards sometimes doing things that aren't wise, that aren't good for us, considering who we really are, they're here, even in a wonderful, wonderful place like this. We have got to watch out for each other, not just as home and visiting teachers, but as roommates, people in the same ward or apartment complex. Don't you dare turn away from somebody who's ready to go over a cliff and say, well, I hope he knows what he's doing. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe she doesn't. We have got to help each other. Home and visiting teaching is a wonderful way to keep in touch. I had a feeling the other day that I would like to share, and that is that as you give time to something like home and visiting teaching, somehow God will make that up to you. Have you found that as you pay your tithing and a generous fast offering, you can't write it down on paper, but it's like he makes it up to you. It's like there is compensation for that. You have enough for what you need. It's that way with time, too, and the service that he asks us to do. He knows how much studying you have, and he knows that sometimes you might feel shy to go and visit people and not be sure of why you're going. But learning comes by doing. Take care of each other. Watch out for each other. Rescue and save each other. Repentance is peculiar. That is so peculiar, to think that we can make changes and that God will forgive us of things we've done wrong. I had a friend a few years ago that was headed from northern to southern Utah and in a hurry. And there was a whole stretch of freeway that wasn't finished, except it was. I don't know why it took him so long to pull away the barriers. But he figured on this particular trip, being in such a hurry, he was sure that the only thing that wasn't finished was the lines on the freeway for the lanes, lane lines. And so he went around the barrier that said road closed and cruised off down that freeway about 65 miles an hour, just grinning, feeling so smug. He got a couple of miles down the road and found out there was a bridge that wasn't finished. Oh, so he turned around and came back. And on the back of the sign that said road closed, it said, "Welcome back, stupid." That's not what the Savior says when we come back. "Welcome back, stupid. Told you." We might say that to each other, but he never does. He loves us. He's happy to see us come back when we have strayed away a little bit. It may be peculiar in much of the world for a group to imagine a kind, loving father instead of a scary, formless God out there somewhere trying to catch us making mistakes. If there's anyone here today who only imagines God being mad at you or disappointed in you or ignoring you because you haven't been perfect today, stop it. It's not true. God loves us. He loves you. He knows you even better than you know yourself, and he knows your heart, and he knows how hard you try to be good and do what's right. He also knows what life is like. Don't always imagine God is mad at you or disappointed in you, not happy to hear from you. He's our Father. He's a loving, kind Father. It's peculiar and fantastic to know that the gospel of "Be you therefore perfect" is also the gospel of "Here a little and there a little, line upon line, precept on precept," and a gospel of "Don't run faster than you have strength." We're promised marvelous blessings, like we'll be able to run and not be weary and walk and not faint. And isn't it wonderful to know that God is pleased with both the runners and the walkers? And sometimes you walk, and sometimes you run. And everybody has different seasons in life. Sometimes they last a whole day, and sometimes they last a whole year. But sometimes we run, and sometimes we walk, and sometimes we probably just sit and stare into space. And God is just asking us to do the best we can do in every season, in every situation, in every circumstance that we find ourselves in. I think it's peculiar in this world to sing and believe, "I am a child of God, and he has sent me here." We sing that so much that it may be very, very automatic, and we don't think about what those words mean. But it is profound to sing and believe, "I am a child of God, and he has sent me here." I've known a lot of little children that didn't know that. Sometimes I accidentally watch the news, and I feel so sad. And I see people suffering and struggling and having a hard time. And I think of how many of God's children are born and have a very hard life, a very difficult life. And they go through their whole life with heavy, heavy burdens, never having someone come to tell them that they have a Savior and Redeemer, that Jesus Christ has said to them, just as he has to us, "Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Sometimes light is a burden. Sometimes it is. But what a wonderful burden. Heavenly Father looks down on us and sees us one by one, unique, peculiar even from all the other peculiar ones. That's why we sing that wonderful song in this church, "You're not a clone." Because you're not, are you? Nobody is. On the 7th of February, a couple of years ago, I lost my scriptures. Do you ever say to somebody, "I lost my scriptures"? Where did you leave them? Excuse me? If I knew where I left them, would they be lost? Boo. The last I remembered having them, I had them in one of those zipper things. And I'd put them on top of my car. I had my arms full, and I was in Salt Lake at a meeting. I put them on top of my car. That's like the family going down this, going down the highway on their vacation. Where's little Ralphie? Up there. Whee! Drool for 5 miles back. I looked and looked for them. I knew they'd come back pretty soon because I had my name in them. They didn't come back. I found myself driving the same way to and from Salt Lake. I didn't want them to be in a gutter. After a few days and they didn't come back, I thought to myself, self, somebody is reading them as we speak and they're being converted and they're going to write me this note and say, oh, I just had to keep them a little longer so I could, you know, I just flight of fancy. I just, my mind is out there in la-la land dreaming up all these things. I had always thought, you can always get more scriptures. My missionary journals I knew were irreplaceable, at least I had always felt. These are irreplaceable. I keep them at the MTC, down in my bunker office. I'm below surface now, and they'll never burn. They'll always be there. But my scriptures, I always thought you can get some more. But I lost those that I had written in, and they smelled like mold, and I loved them. And I could find things. Finally, conference came. Several weeks had gone by, and finally some message came inside of me. Edmunds, get a grip. Go get some new scriptures. So I did. They weren't user-friendly. I couldn't find stuff in them. I didn't write my name in them. I hauled them around. I took them to conference. On the 7th or 8th of April, a couple of months now have gone by, that morning as I was praying, for some reason I thought about them again. I had really missed them. And I said something like this to Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, you remember those scriptures I lost? I know you can see them. Do you ever say that to him? I know you can see that paper. Can you give me a hint? Warm, warm, cold, cold. And I said, if it would be okay, I don't want to bug you, but if it would be okay, I really would like to have them back. This is the last time I'll talk about it, but I would love to have them back. Early the next morning, I got to work and I went to my box in the lobby area at the MTC, and there was a green slip, and that always means there's a package for you. I pulled it out and it said, your scriptures. And I looked up, and there they were, not in the zipper cover. And I grabbed them, and they were there. There they are. And I ran down the hall to my office, shut the door, locked it, and just wept. That Heavenly Father, so many times, looks down on us. Here's what we need, even if it's kind of a little thing, and responds to us one by one. I know that God loves us one by one and knows us very, very well, one by one. And we'll respond to things that are on our minds and in our hearts, things we pray about and plead about one by one. Here are a couple of ideas for you to find out about your peculiarity. You already know some ways in which you're peculiar. Here are a couple of things that might be interesting for you. Besides the Savior, your Heavenly Father, your family, that kind of a team. List the 10 most influential people in your life. If you can only think of 5, list 5. Only 2, list 2. And then list the Jolly Green Giant as number 3. List those people who have had a significant impact in your life. It teaches you a lot about yourself to think about those who've had the greatest impact in your life. One of my top 10 has always been my violin teacher. I needed what he added to my life when I was a little rough tomboy tearing up the neighborhood. Write a letter to them, even if you don't know where they are. Even if they've gone home, which is the way I say died. Even if they've gone home, write them a letter so you don't know how to get them to them. Put it on your roof and just maybe somebody will come and get it. Then write a letter from them to you. What would they say to you about how they see their impact on your life and perhaps your impact on their life? Who are the people who have had the greatest impact in your life? Pretend you've been invited to give your last lecture. I love to look for last lectures in the Book of Mormon. Moroni had quite a few because he kept thinking it was all over. Oh, they're going to kill me tomorrow. So he writes his last lecture, chip, 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 chip. And then he wakes up the next morning and he's still alive. So he writes another one, chip, 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 chip. But it's always interesting to look. What were some of the last things Nephi said and Lehi, the Savior, Moroni, Mormon? What would you say if you had a last lecture? Another way to do this is to write a last letter. Write a letter to someone, even if you don't send it, and pretend it's the last letter you'll write. What do you believe? What's in there? What are the desires of your heart? Who are you really when perhaps you act as if it's all over? I want to share with you the words of one of our hymns, which to me is a hymn which invites us to be peculiar. I love the hymns. I loved coming in this morning and singing with you our Savior's love. I loved hearing this beautiful song about our shepherd. This particular one is "More Holiness Give Me," hymn number 131. See if you find in some of these phrases things you're working on. More holiness give me, more strivings within, more patience in suffering, more sorrow for sin, more faith in my Savior, more sense of His care, more joy in His service, more purpose in prayer, more gratitude give me, more trust in the Lord, more pride in His glory, more hope in His word, more tears for His sorrows, more pain at His grief, more meekness in trial, more praise for relief, more purity give me, more strength to overcome, more freedom from earth stains, more longing for home, more fit for the kingdom, more used would I be, more blessed and holy, more Savior like thee. Those phrases, each one could be a whole discussion. Each one has in it an invitation to become more peculiar, more like the Savior, more holy. I think of the phrase, more joy in His service. Isn't it a joyful thing to be in God's service? A couple of years ago on a hot August day, I stopped by the post office in Springville. Mapleton's not big enough for a post office, so we stop in Springville. Usually nobody's there. It's after hours. This particular evening there was someone there. Looked like he was trying to get stamps. And what I saw as I went in was a man who looked like he might have been from Mexico, and lots of them come up in the summer and help us in the harvesting. And what I saw was a bill going in and coming out. And frustration. He looked frustrated. So I walked over and got my mail. And I think it was compassion that came into me, because I had to help. I do a lot of things without feeling compassion, but I can't feel it without being compelled to help. So I walked over, and not knowing his name, I just called him, "Sir." "Sir, isn't it working?" "No, it will not work." "Let me try." "I have never used one of those machines." So he gave me this worn-out $5 bill, way worn out. So I lined it up. I looked at the picture. I stuck it in. It came back out. It's not working. I tried to tell you. So I tried it another few ways, and then I handed it back to him, and I said, "Hold on a sec." I don't think he understood what that meant, because he kind of smiled at me like, "Well, thanks for trying." I ran out to my car, got three pretty good-looking dollar bills, came running back in and said, "Sir, let's see if these will work." Now I'm getting pretty excited about this machine, having never used one before. Looked at the picture, stuck it in. It took it. "Ah, sir, it took it. Look." And he's looking at me, and he's looking at his five, and I got this strong feeling, that's all he's got. And he's getting confused now. "What's she doing?" So I took the second one, put it in. "Oh, sir, this is great." It took all three. And we got one of those little books of stamps and a dime change. So I took them and I handed them to Sir, and he backed away. "No, no, see, see, yes, yes." So we danced for a while. And then he wouldn't take it. And finally I said, the only thing that came as we stood there sweating on this hot August day, "Merry Christmas, sir." So he kind of took it and smiled a little bit, and then he tried to give me his five, and he said, "How much I give you?" And I said, "Nothing, not a pfft, nothing, no." And so then he tried to give them back, and I said, "No, no, no." And then I got an idea. "Friends, try this." I said to him, "Sir, you would do the same thing for me." And he got tears in his eyes, and he said, "See, I will." And I said, "I knew that. Didn't you know that? I knew that. Listen," I walked out of there, and I said to myself, "Self, 3 minutes, $3, all natural ingredients, I'm high." I felt so happy. I felt so good. You know, he was just still standing in there looking at his five and his stamps and his dime. And I drove away, And then I imagine them in a meeting up there someplace. It's hard not to think of them in a meeting. And somebody in the meeting said, because we believe in meetings, somebody said, Sir is down in the post office in Springville and he needs to get stamps and he can't get them. Wouldn't it be wonderful if somebody else in the meeting said, it's okay, Edmonds is on her way. She'll help. My friends, wouldn't it be wonderful if God could count on us to help each other? Wouldn't it be wonderful if he could count on us to stop on our way to a class or a meeting or an activity and help? If he could count on us to help each other, wouldn't that be wonderful? A phrase in closing from that wonderful hymn, more blessed and holy, more Savior like thee, from Moroni's last lecture. Yea, come unto Christ and be perfected in him. Sounds like it's not going to be exactly fun or easy or short. Come unto Christ and be perfected in him and deny yourselves of all ungodliness. Big order. I know and am convinced that Jesus is our Savior, our Redeemer, and has enough power and experience and love and grace to heal us, to perfect us, to make us whole, and to bring us safely home. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.